Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Stripe Tap to Pay on iPhone came along and changed everything. With Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. No more juggling different methods. Just a simple tap on my iPhone and transactions are complete. What's truly remarkable is how Stripe caters to all my customers' preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Stripe ensures a smooth checkout experience every time. Setting up Stripe was a breeze, taking just minutes to get up and running. From local markets to global retailers, Stripe helped me expand my reach and grow my business with ease. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Coming up, we find out whose 2021 predictions were on the money and whose fell flat. It's our predictions results show. This is the Daily Tech News Show for Thursday, December 30th, 2021 in Los Angeles. I'm Tom Merritt.
And from Studio Redwood, I'm Sarah Lane.
From Salt Lake City, I'm Scott Johnson.
From somewhere in St. Louis, I'm Patrick Norton.
From Columbus, Ohio, I'm Rob Dunwood.
From Los Angeles, I'm Lamar Wilson.
And I'm Roger Chang, the show's producer.
Welcome to our end of 2021 predictions results episode, where we look at those predictions we made last year about technology and say, huh, I was so right. Well, maybe one of us will say that. Most of us probably won't. Thank you all for joining us. Before we get into the results, everybody feeling good about the new year? Yeah? Huh?
I mean,
it just snuck up on us so quick. Couldn't be worse.
Yeah. I think some of the stuff, some of those things we all thought were 2020 things, maybe those will be 2022 things, you know? Like all the hot new innovations.
Yeah, because the running joke of people don't remember for years before 2020 was that everybody said, that will be a development in 2020. And then we did get a development in 2020. It's just not the one everyone was predicting we would get.
Very different.
So, maybe 2022. All right, let's look at how we did at the end of last year. Starting with you, Sarah Lane, your first prediction for this past year was that Oculus Quest 2 would get an app that would make it a must-have in homes as the pandemic continued through 2021.
Well, okay, so the Quest 2 specifically, I it was new, so I think I was just throwing that in there. The Quest as a platform in general is going to, things are going to get a lot different over the next, let's say, year, right? Because the Quest has been up until this point sort of the consumer product, and I am very, very bullish on it, but I'm very bullish on certain things. What would make it a must-have in homes is not the apps that I'm using.
Yeah.
I use exercise apps. I love them. People who also use them love them. You know, we're all in Facebook groups together and it's great. But I don't think there was some like everyday breakout, this is the new messenger kind of thing.
That's where this falls down. The pandemic continued. You got that part right. The Quest kind of generally did do well because of people staying at home more. It's not called Oculus anymore, though. They're gonna get rid of that. But that's not until next year. So I don't think you have to worry about that. But yeah, there's just not that one app that everybody can point to, is there?
I don't think so. No, I mean, and I feel like I'm the outlier in many cases where people go like, VR has that. I'm not doing that. Like, how fun can it be? And I'm like, it's so fun. But no, I think I would call this still a fringe industry. And I hope that it becomes something that's a little bit more mainstream in the future. But 2021 wasn't it.
Wrong.
Yeah.
All right.
That's right.
Your second prediction. Glimmers of a post-Facebook and Twitter world will emerge from a company that isn't Elo or Parler, but something new and different.
And that was 100% wrong.
Wrong! But Meta.
Yeah, Meta, sure. I mean, Facebook changed its name. Okay.
Didn't change the name of Facebook, though. Just the parent company.
Slight pass. I don't know. The reason that I made this prediction a year ago was because people were sick of Facebook, frustrated with Twitter. There were so many things that consumers wanted that neither company could deliver on. I would argue that both companies took very different stances to that. Twitter, very recently, going through a big change, got a new CEO. Kind of remains to be seen how that will change. But I did feel like that the sentiment was so negative that there would be an alternate social network that rose up somewhere. And yeah, you mentioned Elo, you mentioned Parler, Tom.
Last year.
Well, yeah, I did. As examples of like, well, we've tried this before, but never gained a lot of traction. There wasn't anything else either.
I just want to say I personally shared your wishful, if we want to call it wishful thinking, because I really had hoped maybe something would disrupt that market as well and do it in a really meaningful, powerful way. And nothing did. But I remember when you made this prediction, I was like, I really hope she's right because I would love that. That'd be great.
Closest thing to it was TikTok, right?
I was going to say, so not TikTok? Yeah. I was going to say, but no, it's video. So,
and also, it wasn't like it was new back a year ago, right?
Yeah. Right.
It just kept going. That's all.
Gained traction for sure. It already existed.
And they added a lot of stuff to make it more social media-ish, like, you know, how you reply and get friends and suggest friends and that sort of stuff. So they've made attempts in that way, but it's not really what I think we were looking for. Although I really like TikTok, so maybe it did. Maybe I got it and I didn't notice it. I don't know.
And your third prediction, Bitcoin gets back into the mix, never went away, but price fell long enough that people stopped believing.
I think I get a point on this one. All right. However you feel about cryptocurrency, there was a time at the end of about a year ago that it was kind of like, oh, was this just a bunch of vaporware? You know, like no one's going to make any money off of this. And now Bitcoin is, you know, launching. What did they just do in Miami? It was like the Bitcoin conference kind of thing. Like Bitcoin's back. And I also use Bitcoin as just a term for crypto in general. And it's very volatile. I dipped my toes into the crypto world when I was laid up a couple months ago with devastatingly bad results for me because it's just, yeah, it's just stupid. Good thing I didn't have enough money to actually lose in the first place. Yeah. But I think we're back up. I think there was a point where it was, at least, I don't know, in my social circles of people who care about this sort of thing, I was kind of like, Bitcoin, that's not really going to go anywhere. And it seems to be roaring back.
What do y'all think?
$48,000
a coin. I agree with her. Yeah. She noted.
That was definitely, that one, you nailed that one. That was definitely up. It was around the March, April time frame when Elon Musk started talking about, was it Dogecoin?
Mm-hmm.
Crypto just became a thing again. And Bitcoin is definitely one of the primary beneficiaries of just it being in the mouth of everyone for the last 9 months, 8 months.
In fact, there's so much back into the mix now that I looked at this and was like, what do you mean get back into the mix? Like, oh, right. In December of last year, Bitcoin was down and then it had crashed. And people were like, well, maybe other cryptocurrencies might. Like it was kind of crazy how much it turned around in a year. So, right. Yeah, I think you nailed this one. Good job.
Well, thank you. I'm 1 for 3. I feel really good about that.
All right. Hey, you know what? You could win a National League batting championship with 333. So.
Exactly. Yeah,
not bad. Scott Johnson, we move on to you. You said Netflix will lose a massive share of streaming audience to Disney Plus, Hulu, and HBO Max by the end of 2021, forcing a price drop or at least no price rise.
Yeah, I got that wrong. I think I got it wrong, though, in a nuanced way. Like, for sure, the streaming market itself, I think, expanded, or at the very least, people that were happy having Netflix were also happy to add something like HBO Max or Disney Plus to their the services they pay for every month. And while no prices were dropped and it didn't really put the kind of pressure on them that I thought, I think Netflix is doing great. It's kind of the opposite of the core of my prediction. I am happy to see that space being, you know, padded out with more options, more competition, more content that I'm interested in. So overall, I mean, I don't know if we blame some of this on the pandemic or where this comes from for me in my head, but I think the current state of streaming is kind of awesome. And so much of it is, I mean, we are creeping closer to that thing Tom always talks about where we're going to have so many, it'll be like cable again. Or I guess people send that into the show all the time. It's not necessarily your take, but I hear it all the time. And maybe we're headed there. But right now, it feels good. And it feels like I can get a lot of choice for not that much money. And I'm really happy with it. So I'll take the loss, but I'm happy with where it is.
Yeah, I think you were not alone among people who sort of forgot it's not a zero-sum game, right? Disney did expand its audience. You were right about that.
Absolutely.
It just wasn't at Netflix's expense.
Yeah. Yeah. I think one of the reasons we were thinking is, I remember when you made that prediction, what we were thinking is because everybody was taking back their content. And so now what does Netflix have that is original? And are the audiences really interested in original content? And we've learned from the Squid Games to the recent anime thing that just came out on Netflix that was great. That people will flock to original content, and if it gets popular, it gets very popular.
Yeah, Netflix is maybe leading that charge still. And Lamar makes a really good point. Like, we were at a point where we were like, oh, man, Netflix is losing all their movies. They're losing all this Peacock stuff. They're losing all the NBC stuff. They're losing all these things, Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
And so it looked bad. So I feel okay about the basis.
But that has been the clarion call about Netflix over the years. Oh, they're losing stars. They'll never survive. They always figure out a way.
Yeah.
You know, it was also, not even a year ago that The Mandalorian was a huge, huge Disney Plus hit. Yeah. And I thought the same thing, like, I wonder, you know, they all can't survive, right? Is Netflix going to take a hit for this? Didn't end up happening this year, but it doesn't, you know, won't.
Of course, Scott's next prediction was after their price drop, they will release a show about squids that will make them recover everything. Is that not right? What was your note?
I mean, I feel like I was prophetic there, but I don't want to take too much credit. Yeah. I may have had an inside job.
What was your actual next prediction?
My next prediction was that Nintendo was going to release a full generational sequel to the Switch, a proper Switch 2, with a couple of big Nintendo titles. It would be a monster hit. It would be on the tails of what they've already done and succeeded with. The Switch came out in 2017, and while this isn't necessarily the full generational timeline that we usually have with a new Nintendo product, I thought maybe it was time, and that thing was showing its age. What we got instead was an OLED model of the thing, and it's nice, and it's got a few other improvements here and there. They seem to have fixed their controller drift problem, and they've had some big hits this year. They're doing fine. Nintendo's doing great. But it wasn't quite the generational jump I'd hoped it would be. And now I'm in the mood for saying that'll be something we'll see in the next year or two, because I really do think it's time. But that OLED device is pretty nice, and that'll get them by for another 365.
If you hadn't said full generational, if you'd fudged it a little.
There's always this desire to have Nintendo play in the old playground they used to play in, which is with the other big boys, and everybody's trying to compete for speed and power and everything else, and they don't do that anymore. It's not their thing. They play on IP and good enough hardware and unique uses of that hardware, and it's working for them. So I shouldn't be surprised that they haven't rushed that through. Nintendo doesn't rush anything. Their internet stuff's still bad. Like, they've got a lot of stuff to work out and get through, but I'm hopeful that whatever the follow-up to the Switch is not like the Wii U or, in some respects, the GameCube, as much as I love that device, you know, where they have a real dip. I think they've learned some lessons, and they'll stay extremely relevant no matter what they do next.
What would you say the monster hit would be? Because I can't think of one for
For me, it would have been kind of what they did last time and say, hey, you know how we told you we were making a Breath of the Wild sequel for the Switch? Like, there'll still be a scaled down version of that there, but Instead, that full-blown sequel is going to be on this new one, like we did with Twilight Princess in the GameCube, and like we in the Wii, and like we did with Breath of the Wild for the Wii U, moving into the Switch. Those were all intended for the previous platforms and technically released on them. I thought maybe that would be the way to do it. That game is just a system seller automatically, and I was certain we were heading that way. But now we actually didn't do that or get much information on that new game. So who knows what the heck they're doing?
Well, we did get Metroid, right? So that
we did.
You know,
it's pretty good.
Can't be too sad.
All right, last prediction, Scott.
Game Pass will take Microsoft to the top spot of this console generation in units sold. Profitability overall, Sony will spend a year trying to match value add features. I think I get a yes on this one, and here's why. We have numbers from just last month or last quarter, whatever it is. The specifically the S model of the new generation of consoles, not the X, but the S, which has been more available, has now taken the top sales spot over PlayStation 5 and over the Switch.
It is
for the first time in this generation.
I'm looking at the NPD Group stuff, and it says the Switch is still in front. But is that a is that because they combine Switch OLED and
right? But also they also combine that with the light. So I'm guessing those are part of those numbers as well.
Yeah. Okay, all right.
But as far as like just single console sales, that got them there, and I'm not sure. I'm not 100% sure this is the reason why, but I have to think a big part of it is the success of Game Pass and just the ridiculous value of Game Pass. That thing is almost a joke. It's so good. I don't know how they're getting away with it. Well, it's Microsoft. They're, you know, they're loss leadering this thing to death, and that's good for us as consumers. I don't know how it is for them long term, but combine that with what they're doing in the last couple of weeks with Halo numbers and how things went with Forza. They're having a really good couple of months, and my Series X has never been happier. So I think that they did it maybe not in a way where everyone's like, oh, clearing away, they're running away from everybody. Maybe not that. But they've gotten to a place where they're dominant in some ways, certainly in services. And they've got Sony on the run trying to figure out what to do to match it. And I think they had to do that. Sony did. And now we're in a place where I can give that a tentative why, Tom, in the little column there, a little why there.
What do y'all think? By the numbers, PlayStation 5 still 13.4 million to Xbox Series X and S, 8 million. But Xbox did pass PlayStation 5 in U.S. sales on the NPD Group this past year. Game Pass definitely successful. Are we giving
and Sony credit? And Sony's trying to match features. There's a rumor of you know, the Game Pass thing with them. So yeah, I get that. Yeah, definitely.
I think that's a plus.
Yeah,
feels all right.
All right, we're giving you a why.
Yeah, all right. One for three. Me and Sarah, two down, one good. On
you and Sarah, neck and neck. All right, Patrick Norton, let's move to you. You said at least one of Lenovo, HP, or Dell, the top three PC makers by market share, will work with Microsoft to follow Apple's lead and start making custom ARM CPUs.
I feel comfortable in calling this mostly 90% a fail. It's funny. Like, I think, like 4 days after we recorded this, there were a bunch of reports that Microsoft was designing chips for its servers, ARM-based chips for servers, and that may trickle into the Surface PCs. That was the tail end of 2020. Since then, there's been some rumors that Microsoft's working with AMD to do a custom Surface ARM CPU. There's been some noise around some possible Microsoft ARM development, but nothing I would say calls this a win. I also would like to call myself an idiot for saying Lenovo, HP, or Dell instead of saying Microsoft, because the operating system is really what's critical to make work with the chip integration, especially after seeing the release of the M1 Max and the M1 Pro, where a friend of mine got an M1 Max, and it was completely life-changing because he worked with massive data sets, and the fact that Apple basically bombed out a server processor that has this ridiculous amount of bandwidth running from the memory to the chip has just made huge differences in his ability to process data. I feel like Apple's far and away and ahead. I have a friend who, to put this into context, he runs a hardware review website. He has all of the fastest hardware, and I think it was, he said he touched DaVinci Resolve on his wife's MacBook Pro, not the Max or the Pro, but just her original MacBook. And it basically just wanted to burst into tears because it's so much faster than the desktop he personally runs DaVinci Resolve on. So I think the idea is solid, but it's nowhere near fruition at this point.
What you're saying is, what you meant to say was, in 2022, Microsoft will make.
Well, it's funny. I remember this prediction, and I remember at the time hoping you were right. Didn't have an M1 yet and was thinking, it was eyeballing one. Ended up with the Mini, and I can confirm, like, everything's better, faster, better for me. On a Mac platform, if that's where you already were out there and you're all wondering, oh, is it worth it or whatever, I'm running Intel-based stuff faster than it ran before the M1 chip, and it's running through, you know, Rosetta 2. I have some stuff that's running through two layers of compatibility or translation, and it's still faster than it was on the raw Intel version of this thing from the previous year. So while I'm not as knowledgeable about all the under the hood as you are, as someone who needs a certain kind of workflow and I have certain kind of expectations, blew my mind. I am loving that thing, and I'm all in as long as they don't screw it up.
All right. Patrick's next prediction was that by some minor miracle, Starlink actually will manage to blanket most of the U.S. with $99 a month unlimited internet, causing radical changes in data pricing by Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile.
I mean, I wanted it.
I so wanted you to be right on this.
We all cheered for you to be correct.
I so wanted you to be right. It could have even been 129. I would have still gave it to you.
So there's a couple really cool maps, and they actually show all of the – basically, they're maps of the Starlink satellites in space. They have coverage.
Yeah.
They just don't have enough coverage. I spent a bunch of time on the Starlink website yesterday, and I was typing in, you know, remote places I've been. I started with St. Louis and started working my way out, and I finally found, like, Gerlach, North Nevada is a place that doesn't have they're hexagonal cells of coverage. So I found, like, after about 15 places I've traveled to or lived, I found one hexagonal cell that isn't saturated at this point. So if anybody wants to move to Gerlach, which has very inexpensive rent and it's just a easy 90-minute to 2-hour drive from a supermarket, that is a place where you can currently get Starlink. Everywhere else, it's mid-2022 before availability. So the other thing that came out is it's really, if you can't put it on your roof, if you have trees or hills or tall buildings around you, coverage is pretty brutal. But there's some interesting speculation that how wide an area or how sort of wide a field of view you need of space to make it work will reduce as they launch more satellites. But this was a dream and definitely has not happened. But I will also say I've been surprised it works as well as it does in the field for a lot of people.
What you were meant to say was by the end of 2022. All right, third prediction from Patrick. 3000 series Nvidia GPUs and AMD's 5000 series CPUs won't be easy to buy at MSRP until June.
June of what too. Year?
You could have just stopped at MSRP. You would have nailed it.
Yeah. Say it, Tom. Say it, Tom.
I'm going to give you half credit. I think we should give him half credit.
Yeah, I do too. That's fair.
I mean, it's very true. It just happened to be longer than that.
Yeah.
Still true.
Yeah.
Yeah, still very true.
True and
I was
still
reading
true.
This when we first put this together. I'm like, oh, Patrick, June. Yeah. I think we give you half credit on that, which puts your batting average at 187. But still, that's it's not bad. Not bad. You're in the hunt. All right, let's
back
move on.
The clamp diggers.
Let's move on to Rob Dunwood. Your first prediction was that you thought boutique and gig consulting would skyrocket in 2021.
Yeah, so I'm not sure if I'm right on this one or not, because my thought process led me to believe that, well, with the beginning of the pandemic, so many people are laid off. They're learning other skills. And then they'll get a gig job to employ that skill so that they can actually go get a real job. Where I think I'm wrong is that, no, they actually went and got jobs. You have seen significant numbers of people who have completely changed careers because they took, free training, or they may have paid for some training, and they took enough online tests that companies were actually willing to, you did so well on this test, I'm going to hire you in. I don't need you to be a contractor. I want you to come work here because companies need people so badly right now and pretty much all this year. You know, numbers for hiring are just, you know, ridiculous right now. So, like I said, I don't know that I can call that, you know, a, you know, I don't know if you can give me a full point for it, because I thought it was going to really be consulting that was going to be the thing. And it's like, no, these people that I thought were going to go into consulting, they actually went into full-time positions. I hear it all the time. I've got friends and family members who have actually, you know, I was driving a bus. Now I am a PeopleSoft developer. You know, after, you know, taking 6 months of courses, and I just hear story after story after story of that. So, wrong, because they actually did better than I thought they were going to do.
Yeah, I think if you hadn't said consulting specifically, because there was just a recent article, I was trying to find it, almost on Forbes or whatever, that although I definitely agree with you and your experience and your numbers, there were a surprising amount of people who decided to find a way to work for themselves too, you know, and those mm-hmm. those numbers are not exact, because you have to wait till tax time to really find out
right.
who those people are, but there, yeah, there are a number of people, even if they jumped into like a DoorDash or something, like they just decided I want to be my own person. Maybe contractor would have definitely kind of edged you over to the full point, but consulting is a fair one. I would, when you said that, I agree with you. I thought people would be more, you know, hey, I have this skill mm-hmm. and I want to share this with others. I want to train other people on how to do this. And so, I it's an interesting one. It's a tough point to give.
So how much do we give him?
I say half.
Yeah?
I give you a half.
The consulting word is the only all gray right. area.
I can just say from personal experience, I've heard from people who were like, oh, guess what I'm doing? I'm doing this stuff part-time. A lot of my artist friends are doing logos for sites that's all they do is they produce content that then didn't sell to people as, you know, gig stuff. So that has been an uptick. Now, I don't have a way to measure that or anything else, but I remember when you said this prediction, I went, I think he's probably 100% right. And just, you know, anecdotally, people have said, yeah, I'm doing that now. And I feel like there's more of that going on. So I think that's fair.
All right. Half credit for that, Rob. Your next one was 2021 will be the year of copycat Clubhouse social network startups.
Ding, ding, ding.
Now, I think I nailed this one. So yeah. Just off the top of my head, you've got Twitter Spaces, Facebook Rooms, Discord Stage Channels, Slack Huddles, Telegram Voice Chats, LinkedIn. I don't know what theirs is called. Spotify recently purchased Betty Labs, where they're going to start doing this stuff. And there are many, many others. The party line is popping right now. Clubhouse is absolutely onto something. Unfortunately for them, I think the leader in the space is probably going to be Twitter, because Twitter is killing it. They just recently I think it was during Jimmy V Week on ESPN, where they actually ran Jimmy V Week in a Twitter, in a Twitter space, where you could actually donate and those kind of things right from the Twitter platform. And you're going to see all kind of things, even moving into 2022, where these platforms are going to get bigger and bigger than what they are. But I think on this one, because there are so many copycats of Clubhouse, and the big players, I mean, Facebook is doing it. You know, Microsoft is doing it with LinkedIn. I think I get a point on that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, clearly.
I don't think anybody's going to dispute. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I looked at this and I was like, he didn't say Clubhouse would be successful. He said there's going to be a lot of copycats. And yeah, and that is 100% correct. If anything, to the expense of Clubhouse, you were so correct.
I haven't heard of Clubhouse since Twitter Spaces. I have not heard one person.
Twitter is killing it in this space right now. I feel sorry for Clubhouse, because they were first, but man, you know, it's hard to catch up to a company that literally can count their user base in the hundreds of millions where they've released this to.
Reminds me of Meerkat in some ways, like that kind of come out of nowhere. Oh my gosh, look at this startup. And then Twitter comes in and says, yeah, we're doing Periscope. And then no one heard of Meerkat again.
Right.
And I don't think Periscope's that big a deal anymore, but same idea. Twitter comes in, let's do Spaces. I just wish it was smarter about who I am, because when I go to Spaces, it's a nightmare in there. I don't want to go to any of those rooms I see, but I'm with you. I think this is like a hot new thing. Obviously it is. The big players are doing it.
All right. And your third one, can you get at least half on all three? Your third one was mobile payments finally become mainstream in the United States.
Ooh.
This one's going to go to the judges. So
here's what I will say. I personally no longer feel uncomfortable pulling out my phone and trying it more than one time to make it work. Mm-hmm. At a terminal, people don't look at you like, what are you doing? Because they probably were going to do the same thing too. But I don't know that it's mainstream yet. I see signs where you go to a particular establishment, a particular restaurant, they actually will tell you, we prefer if you use Apple Pay. We prefer if you use, you know, Visa Pay or, you know, or Samsung Pay or what have you. But people aren't, you know, we haven't jumped the shark yet. Folks are still, primarily pulling out credit cards. So I don't know if I can, get the, it's mainstream in the sense that a lot of people are using it. No one is shocked by it, but it's not where I was thinking that this is how most people are going to pay for things. I was really thinking that we were in the throes of the pandemic last year. I do not want to hand you a credit card. I don't want you to touch my credit card. I need you to spray it off before you hand it back to me if I have to give it to you, as compared to me just holding my phone near something and, you know, me being able to make that payment. So I don't know if I get a whole point on that. I will say this, though. The mobile payment applications like, you know, PayPal has always been there. But when you start to look at like Cash App and Venmo, which is, you know, they've been there, but their use and the way that people are using them, that has really, really increased. I mean, because I look at things like my parents are using Venmo and Cash App. Where they didn't know. So that's what's different. It's not just millennials and, you know, in our generation who are really into tech. It's like my folks are using Cash App. They're like, you know, hey, I just Cash App somebody something for their birthday, or Cash App me this. I see it at the store. I want to pick it up because I know you've been looking for it. That is different. So mainstream in the sense that people are aware of it and they're not frightened by it like they used to be. And they don't get upset with you when you're standing in line and you're trying to do it because it's a poor terminal.
Yeah.
But is it mainstream in the sense that it is what we do most of the time? No, that we're still not there. People still generally are going to pull cash out or pull a card out for the most part.
Go ahead, Tom.
Good day. You go ahead first.
I was going to say that I just went through this morning. I you know, went to the market, had to pick up a couple things. They definitely accept Apple Pay. I know that. I've used Apple Pay there before. But I mean, I have my wallet on me. So, you know, just do the card thing. That is like, it just doesn't seem that much better. Unless I forgot my wallet at home, then that would be a different issue. But it's like, it doesn't seem to have crossed over into the point where people just say, well, of course, you just pay everything, you know, mobile payment on your phone. Why wouldn't you do that? We're not quite there yet. But I am with you on the non-grocery store type mobile payments, Cash App, Venmo. I mean, I pay my rent on Venmo. All of the things have completely moved over to that, to the point where now when someone says, how's that work? I'm like, really? Where you been?
I feel like, and granted, I don't live on planet Earth. I live in Los Angeles. But I feel like in the past couple of months, all of a sudden, everywhere I go, I'm like, oh, I can pay with my phone? Great. I don't have to pull my wallet out. I already got my phone out because I was taking a picture of your beignets or whatever, right? Like, that is happening more often than not, to the point where I'm running into places where they're like, oh, this terminal isn't set up for that. Or, oh, we don't take that. I'm like, oh, yeah, no problem. I am leading with my phone now. And that is very recent behavior, like that, which now the unusual situation for me where I can't use the phone. Whether that makes it mainstream or not, I don't know. But that's just something I've noticed personally.
It's so regional, though. It's very, very regional, and it develops a lot. Whether talking about a national chain or local stores, there are a lot of small mom and pop shops here in St. Louis. There are still not as bad as it was a year ago, but there are still a lot of places where you can't even use contactless payment or a chip. Now, I'd say it's down vastly from last year, but having driven across the country like a couple more times this year or another time this year, it's still amazing how many places where you can't do contactless payment or they're still running, you know, this incredibly beat down credit card machine. Like, I think we're closer, but I think it varies so much by, you know, national chains. Most of them have it sorted. Well, smaller regional places are kind of all over the map.
And this is an example of regionalism. It's the mom and pop places that have contactless here. It's the national chains like Ralph's that don't. Right?
And exactly.
So weird.
Yeah. But you're right. It is totally, it's totally spotty. It's totally regional. So what percentage are we giving Rob on this one?
I'd give him a full point.
I'd give him a point. Yeah.
Give me the point.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll take it.
Point, point. Yeah. Everybody's saying full point. Full point. Two full for three. Points. Actually, two and a half for three. Take that, Rob's Ted Williams.
Rob's in the lead.
Yeah.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The Claude 3 model family from Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. With models at every point on the price-performance curve, you no longer have to make trade-offs between intelligence, speed, and cost. Claude 3 Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed. And Haiku is the fastest and lowest-cost model in the market, perfectly designed for high-volume, high-speed use cases. Join the thousands of enterprises who trust Anthropic to keep them at the frontier. Visit anthropic.com/Claude today.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Stripe Tap to Pay on iPhone came along and changed everything. With Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. No more juggling different methods. Just a simple tap on my iPhone and transactions are complete. What's truly remarkable is how Stripe caters to all my customers' preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Stripe ensures a smooth checkout experience every time. Setting up Stripe was a breeze, taking just minutes to get up and running. From local markets to global retailers, Stripe helped me expand my reach and grow my business with ease. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
All right, let's move, go to Lamar. Lamar's first prediction, all movies will go same day theater streaming for all major distributors in 2021.
I probably shouldn't have said the word all on that one. So while it didn't happen that way, many movies or companies did adopt this, right? It, like, even late in the year, there was
Warner particularly went.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, yeah. All their movies, yeah. Right?
Warner did all their movies. Paramount, at the end of the year, did, like, some kid movies because the parents were iffy about their kids going to the theater. So there was Clifford, Addams Family 2, I believe, went the same day. The one that was surprised to me, Peacock made the decision for Halloween Kills. That was a same day release. So there's you know, Disney did a Black Widow, a few more than we thought they'd do. So it there wasn't a full, hey, let's get together and just make this happen. But I there was some progress made that I'm hoping the Pandora's box being. I'm hoping they don't stuff it all back in there. I think
it does seem like the effect has been reduced window, not day and date.
Yeah, yeah, I was right. Going to say that. Yeah,
there's Paramount.
Yeah, that's true. But like you were dead on about HBO in particular and Warner Brothers. And in fact, they ruffled a lot of feathers and made a lot of people mad within the industry. But they are still doing it. The Matrix comes out day and date in a couple of weeks.
Did I predict it before HBO made their announcement?
I don't know. See, that gives you extra points if you did.
I think when the show was on the 16th. They didn't make that announcement until like near the end of the year.
I think we knew Wonder Woman was, but not all the movies, maybe.
Right. So I did nail it for Warner. Okay. All right.
Yeah, I think maybe you get a point at some point.
Well, they also wanted to have.
I don't think the
HBO Max. Oops, I mean, sorry, Rob.
I was just going to say, I don't think the story is completely written yet because, you know, the numbers are not going in the right direction. You might see them, you know, decide to, okay, you know what, we're going to go back to release at least same day, if not, you know, completely online. And definitely that window is going to be reduced because what you can see is that these companies are not making the same kind of money on movie premieres that they used to. They just aren't. And I don't know that they are going to again for years. So, like I said, I don't think the story is quite written yet.
Warner decided to go back to theater leads on a 45-day window. Universal announced a 45-day window, except for two movies, a Chris Nolan movie and a Jurassic. They'll get longer ones. But as right as you are, Rob, the prediction was all movies in 2021. So
arrogant.
I'm just pointing it out. Are we giving Lamar the point?
Or half?
He's got to get some,
I think he'd at least get a half a point.
We'll give him half. Half a point feels we'll fair.
All right. Yeah. We'll give him half. All right.
Thank you.
Lynn Lamar said that Disney would fold Hulu into its Disney Plus app as a hub and combine the subscribers to more than 100 million.
Okay, so I demand half. And this is why.
Let's hear it.
Internationally, they 100% did this. They created Disney Star, which literally is Hulu, but international, added ABC shows. And we just can't get it because Comcast, that whole Comcast Universal agreement does not expire for another 2 years or so. And so that's the problem here in the States. But internationally, it worked. They did create those hubs. So
well, are they still separate apps, or is there just one app now?
Granted, there was no Hulu internationally, but it is spiritually right. Also, if you had said Disney folds ESPN Plus into Hulu as a hub and combines,
I would have nailed it.
They absolutely did that. Like, they did what you were talking about. They just did it with two different brands in the U.S. Like,
yeah, they did. FX,
I definitely think you get partial credit on this because you were pointing towards that consolidation.
Yeah. If they could do it here, they would. I believe the Bob dude would totally do it. It's just they're stuck with Comcast right now.
The Bob dude. I mean, I think they like having their – remember in the 80s they had Touchstone? So Disney was all the family stuff, and then Touchstone was the stuff was a little edgy. It's like Hulu's their Touchstone now. It's like they put all their edgy stuff there, at least in the States. If you want rated R, you go there. And if you want, Disney, you go to Disney.
What they might do is put Disney Plus as a hub in Hulu. Eventually.
Oh, that's possible. Okay.
Disney Plus is the app for families, but if you want to have the bundle, Hulu might become the hub for that.
That would be crazy.
We'll save that for the predictions episode. All right, so what are we giving Lamar here? Half?
Half.
Half point.
All right.
Yeah.
Final prediction from Lamar: game streaming starts to become mainstream by the end of 2021.
Okay, the key here is starts to. The key
Well
words
phrased.
It's a little vague. Okay. But okay.
So I will say Stadia fell off, at least from public notice. I'm not saying they're not still working. They're working more of the developer side. But Xbox Cloud is with Game Pass Ultimate not only has taken off, but now it's become one of those things where it's on your actual Xbox, and you may think, well, why would I want that? I can just download it. Well, I used it the other day. A friend was like, hey, you got this game called Golf for Friends. I'm like, I don't want to download it. So I didn't. I just pressed the button to play it in the cloud instantly right there. And it's like it kind of remind me of like instant demos. So
yeah, you're right about that. In fact, I did the other day. I was like, I want to try this game, but it's like 30 gig. And I'm like, do I really want to download 30 gig to try it? I don't even know if I'm going to like it on Game Pass. And now that you can just play with cloud on there, I got an hour into that game and had to remind myself, oh, right, I'm just cloud gaming this. And the cool thing is any progress I made, it's all saved. So when I do download it, if I want the ultimate experience, it's all there still. I think you're right about the starting part.
Mm-hmm.
I think it gets a full point, personally.
Yeah.
Full point.
I would agree.
All right.
Because it started, and this is going to take off next year.
It really is.
And into the future.
Yeah,
it's just gonna be different names. Google tried, and I think they'll be a good back end. I really do. I don't think Stadia is going anywhere. It's just consumer, right? They weren't ready for it.
So, you guys have demoed a couple games, but like literally every streaming service that has attempted to do this stuff off servers over the internet has crashed and burned.
Well, no, Amazon Luna is still a thing.
People play Amazon Luna.
There's one or two.
It's a good question.
I just think with them owning Twitch, there has to be some Twitch people that are sponsored by Luna to like play it. So technically, sure, one or two.
There's also a lot of experience. Or there's a lot to say that what NVIDIA is doing with the GeForce Now has been very successful, certainly in a niche market, but successful nonetheless.
Oh, can you count that as cloud? If you can count that as cloud, you are absolutely right.
Oh, 100% you can count it because you play all of it. GeForce Now is all over cloud, so you can totally count that. And I think that helps your argument, but I also think it would take somebody like Microsoft, a big platform holder, Sony as well, somebody to like make it get the traction it needs to not be an also ran like Patrick's describing, because he's right. Like in the past, it's never worked out. OnLive was garbage. Well, not garbage, but it just didn't work. And others have tried. This, I think, is the time. It's like the tablets before iPads. It's like the, I hate to use Apple's example, but you know, it's the iPods before iPods. You eventually somebody goes, no, this is the time and we're going to make it work. And I think their approach is the thing that's making it work by saying, here's cloud, here's download, here's cross save, here's PC. Like that part of it is what's probably going to make it stick this time, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Cool. All right. We've got two full when you count all the points up for Lamar, just right there behind Rob. All right. my predictions, which I have a feeling I'm going to predict, will not change the standings at all. my first prediction was we will see the first attack by self-learning malware that gets past AI-based defense systems like Defender. Just did a search for self-learning malware, and there's lots of great articles from December 2020 about self-learning malware. So what I meant was in 2022.
Oh, you just got the year wrong. I see.
Wrong!
I see where you're going with that.
Well, thanks.
You know, you're just a little ahead of the game.
That's right. I'm ahead of my time. You know?
Trailblazer.
I remember actually all year long this one kept ringing in my head because of Rob's reaction when I made the prediction last year on the show. Walmart, Amazon, and Alphabet become healthcare providers, and Rob was like, what are you doing to me, AI malware and these folks become healthcare providers? Thankfully, while Walmart already had, when I made this prediction, kind of an association with emergency clinics, we did not see any extension of that. And we definitely, if anything, saw Amazon move away from healthcare, kind of move more into the enterprise provision of it, not farther into pharmaceuticals and that sort of thing.
I thought they went deep into pharmacy.
They started to, and then they pulled back later in the year of like, oh, we're not going to sell to end users. We're going to make a platform for pharmacies to be able to use our technology. Because they didn't want that antitrust attention.
Yeah. I thought the Alphabet call was a good one just because it just seemed like something Alphabet would do, like something they would reach out and create a, you know, for a new division for Alphabet. It just felt right. But you
know why, Scott? I know you're right. Because there still is a problem for YouTubers. And YouTube on their platform, they do not do a good job of saying, hey, you're a contractor here. Here's some options for healthcare. Here's some options for insurance. They don't have to be an insurance provider, but they sure don't even give you options. And I think there's an interesting space for all those thousands of creators to say, hey, part of Google, you know, Alphabet, we offer this, you know, and if you're a creator over certain amount, you get a discount into the plan. I don't know why they haven't done that over the years.
I was thinking Alphabet, not Google. I was thinking Verily would do this.
Yeah.
And then sure, there's a corporate synergy. Why not? Just be like, it's not even Google offering it. It's Verily, which is part of the same company. thing is, that felt very realistic in December 2020, that an additional year of increasing scrutiny on the size and tech backlash and all of that just makes it feel like, yeah, no, that wasn't going to happen, knowing what we know now.
Well, I think you hit it right on the head in talking about why Alpha or why Amazon pulled back because of potential antitrust. Yeah. And I think that that Alphabet is thinking the same thing. Healthcare is so big and these companies are so big. It's like, okay, well, if we're now doing healthcare in addition to having all the other data and we have your health data now, that seems like a way that you're going to get regulated on that really quickly.
Yeah. Which is why I'm very upset that my next prediction also was wrong. Antitrust suits against Amazon and Apple by the United States.
Oh, federally.
We were heading there.
So close.
You could just left off the United States or just said Europe and you would have been good.
Right? yeah, I shouldn't have said U.S. I should have said investigations, not suits, maybe. Because these suits are definitely coming. They just, you should never overestimate the speed at which government works, right? Yeah.
I mean, there were also some other things that happened that certainly diverted attention from antitrust for several months this year.
Yeah.
The wheels of government just don't turn that fast. That's
maybe by United States, you meant Epic Games. Maybe that's what you meant.
Did I say you? Did it sound like I said United States, Roger? I'm sorry. I think if you go back and listen, I was saying Epic.
Yeah, and by antitrust, you just meant, you know, I don't know what that suit's called.
I meant
called
a lawsuit. I didn't say antitrust. Go. I said lawsuit. Yeah.
Half point.
Or congressional hearings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I am last. There's no doubt about that. But looks like Rob Dunwood by a half point did the best of all of us. Well done, Rob.
Of course. It was Ron. He's so smart.
Lamar,
tell me about my
silver
prizes, Tom.
Yeah. Congratulations. You win pride.
Thank you. I do. And I have a lot of pride in second place. Yes. I'm going to go cry now.
Who ends up with the bronze then? Is that shared between Sarah and Scott, I guess? Yeah. Yeah. Looks like
it. I would be fine sharing the podium with you, Scott.
Oh, 100%. There's room here
for bronze.
Yeah. Which. Yeah. Yeah, it's not like you have to pick a national anthem to play, Sincere.
No, it's fine. Second place is the rough one because second place is almost winning. We just
well,
put in a really
yeah,
the showing.
Second place, that person is like, I
don't gaslight me just because you didn't get to. Wow.
All right. Well, that is our predictions results. One of my favorite traditions of, you know, holding our feet to the fire. Like we'll make the predictions. We'll do it again. But it's always good to check in and see like, all right. How good were we? Thank you again to the folks participating, starting with Scott Johnson. Let folks know where they can go to find you in the new year.
Well, sure. Turns out it's the exact same place they could find me last year, and so super convenient. If you're looking for anything I'm up to, frogpants.com is the place. There's shows, there's art, there's all sorts of stuff, and a few new things I'll be trickling in there early in the year. So keep your eyes out. That's frogpants.com, and you can always ping me on Twitter. I'm at Scott Johnson.
Patrick Norton, thank you as well. Where can they go?
Still record at avxl.com, or I still record avxl.com or avxl if you want to search your favorite podcatcher with Rob Heron talking about home theater and personal audio.
What about you, Rob Dunwood? Where's your 2022 location going to be?
I am at Rob Dunwood on all the things. And since we met last year, I started a brand new podcast called The Tech John, which you can reach over at thetechjohn.com, and you will hear tech discussed from a different perspective.
Excellent. What about you, Lamar? Where'd you land next year?
I am everywhere at Lamar Wilson. I am really into vertical short form video. It's been a passion of mine that's working out really well. So from unboxings to more in 2022. So stay tuned. You can find me all at lamar.tv actually with two R's. Thank you.
Well, thanks everybody for joining us on the show. It was fun. I didn't win, but it was still really fun. Congrats to you, Rob. Thanks to everybody who's helped support our show every day. We cannot do it without you. So extra thanks to all of you. If you'd like to support our show at any level and you haven't done so already, dailytechnewsshow.com/Patreon is where you can find out more about doing that. Reminder, we are live Monday through Friday at 4:30 p.m. Eastern, 21:30 UTC. You can find out more at dailytechnewsshow.com/live. And we're back tomorrow with our predictions for 2022. Who will win? It's anyone's guess. Talk to you soon.
No one should have to spend New Year's Eve alone. Every year, Ritual Misery presents the Diamond Club New Year's Eve Streamathon, 27 hours of raising money for sick kids through extralife.org. This year, Sarah and myself will be bringing in the new year in the UK. Join us on New Year's Eve at 23:30, 15:30 Pacific for Good Year Internet. Find all the details, including the full schedule, at ritualmisery.com/streamathon.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, this is Janice Torres from Yo Quiero Dinero. From a local business to a global corporation – Partnering with Bank of America gives your operation access to exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America NA, copyright 2024.